This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our guest is the Chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, or NRCS, at USDA, Colton Buckley. Chief Buckley joins us in just a moment. First off, let's talk economics. Chief Economist with USDA is Justin Benavides.
Overall production, we're at 1.03 billion bushels, which again, if realized, is the lowest since 1965. And that's also on very low winter wheat, hard red winter wheat production, which would be the lowest since, I believe, 1957. So all of that leading to some stronger price in the upcoming marketing year, but with the added challenge of the weather as it stands. So definitely a story of drought throughout these spring months, sort of pressuring downward on total wheat production in most of the producing states.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Our guest today is the Chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service. You'll recognize the acronym NRCS. It's Colton Buckley. Chief, welcome back.
Tony, thanks for having me.
Let's begin with something I know you've been on the job as chief here, not even a month, I don't believe, but already some big things happening, some updates, motto, mission, and vision statements. Tell me more about that.
Well, Tony, I think it's clear that for an agency that's over 90 years old that's had adjustments from time to time, it's always good to kind of dust off the strategic priorities and the motto and how we hold ourselves in alignment to the American producer. So I'm very excited that we are announcing that our new motto is keeping working lands in working hands. My top priority as chief all the way down to our local county office level should be about tools, training, technology that we can support the American farmer, rancher, private landowner in prioritizing their ability to stay on the American landscape and keep those working lands working in family hands forever. So we're really excited about the motto, keeping working lands in working hands, and then readjusting our mission statement where we're laser focused in providing and delivering practical, voluntary, and locally led conservation solutions that help producers conserve natural resources, strengthen agricultural production, and keep working lands productive for generations to come. For folks like us, this is simple. We're getting NRCS back to its core mission and driving forward through our time here at the agency, making sure that everything we do falls under one lens: what's best for the American producer.
You know, as you're describing this, it seems as though not that NRCS has been this way, but this is more of a carrot approach to conservation as opposed to a stick approach. Again, not saying that that's been the case in the past, but does that carrot approach really fit conservation and working lands and producers much better?
I think it does. You know, voluntary conservation at a locally led level alongside longtime agency like NRCS, Soil and Water Conservation Districts, and myriad of other nonprofit, for-profit partners, technical service providers, certified conservation planners are at the forefront of supporting the American producer. And it's the American producer that we need to prioritize. And under the administration, Secretary Rollins, Undersecretary Fordyce's Farmer First vision, it's really key that I align the agency in making sure that we're doing some of the things that are lined out in my priorities, like preserving and protecting agricultural land and shifting to outcome-based conservation and farmer empowerment. As an agency of our size in the executive branch, it's our job to serve the taxpayer and the American producer in a voluntary way, a non-regulatory. And so we've got tools like the Conservation Innovation Grants or EQIP, CSP, RCPP, and other programs where producers should be able to get out of a farmer ranch truck, cross into a government-owned release threshold, and ask for help, and they should receive sound and stellar technical service and advice from experts in the field, our local field staff, as well as have the opportunity to apply for cost share or other programmatic assistance to drive their own private investment further on their privately owned property.
That's kind of interesting. You mentioned preserving and protecting ag lands. I think you also said outcome-based conservation there. Would those be priorities that fall under this change as well?
They are, yes, sir. So preserve and protect agricultural land is my top priority. As you and your audience likely knows, we lose on average 5,000 acres a day of working farmer ranch land in the continental United States. 2,000 of that 5,000 is prime farmland. 1,020 acres a day in Texas alone. Texas is the hotbed, my home state, the secretary's home state. And so we've got to focus on reducing the loss of productive working lands and safeguard the long-term viability of America's agricultural landscapes that are in privately held lands. And there's a lot of opportunities for that. Obviously, we've got the ACEP ALE, Agriculture Conservation Easement Program, Agricultural Land Easement is the program to support producers in keeping their property in a voluntary conservation easement held with a land trust, not held with the government, to support its longevity in being working land, but also coming in and looking at our EQIP practices to enhance on that, our conservation stewardship program, and even aside from the programmatic assistance we've got, the technical assistance that producers can voluntarily get from our dedicated field staff or partner in the conservation realm, I think is really key.
Earlier in the week, had the opportunity to talk to one of your neighbors there at USDA, Richard Fordyce, and just talk about the modernization that's working its way through RMA, FSA, and just things under his purview. Are we seeing any modernization, you know, on the technology side or infrastructure side there at NRCS?
We are, yes, sir. So NRCS is one of the, you mentioned our two sister agencies. NRCS is the third sister agency in the FPAC Farm Production Conservation Mission Area, which Undersecretary Fordyce leads. So he's my boss, and we work hand in hand to make sure that we're transforming NRCS into a digitally agile agency alongside our sister agencies, like you mentioned. What you're going to see in implementing the One Farmer, One File system that Undersecretary Fordyce likely talked about, it's going to streamline data access and reduce duplication from agencies. So no longer will a producer have to wait days or weeks for the Farm Service Agency to be able to transfer a farm number, track number to find someone eligible for an NRCS practice. And no longer will it take days or weeks for a producer that's enrolling in CRP with FSA to get the documentation of the FSA office from NRCS on kind of the technical evaluation. This will all be housed in one digital filing cabinet, so to speak, that the agencies can pull from with a click of a button, cutting down bureaucracy, focusing the staff time that used to be in the office, actually in the field, and providing faster results for the American producer. The integrated field tool is more of an NRCS specific tool that's being developed that allows when my field staff are out in the pasture at the field edge, they're able to work with a producer in a more efficient and effective manner to develop a conservation plan, to focus on key priorities that may be going on and in operation. And by leaving the farm that same day, those documents will be populated and uploaded for a producer to sign off on agreeing to engage with NRCS in the practices.
I was just going to mention here, you mentioned Texas, and we obviously will think of, you know, conservation efforts that can be put into place on, you know, these working lands. But you've got quite a bit of land that's used for wildlife and just outdoor access. Is that part of the priority as well?
It is, yes, sir. Expanding wildlife conservation and outdoor access through voluntary conservation efforts that support rural communities and respect private property rights, I think, are really key. I mean, we look in Texas specifically. You look at some of the rural communities in South Texas whose economy is infused during dove or deer season. These are opportunities where the conservation crowd from the wildlife aspect and our farming and ranching community can come together and not sit opposite each other, you know, at the fence row and really get that gate open. And so we can work and reemphasize the work that sportsmen and outdoor recreationalists do to support working lands. Because with land leases and other things, aspects of the sort, those outside dollars being infused in rural communities allow those producers diversified income on their operation, and it also supports the rural communities around them that they serve.
Finally here, and since we've been talking Texas quite a bit, one of the hot topics right now, not just in ag, has become the New World screwworm that has crossed the border from Mexico. And I know that this really has quite a few other partner agencies involved, but does NRCS play a role at all in this New World screwworm?
We do, Tony. That's a great question. So we, producer, can utilize EQIP funding anywhere across the state, but specifically in the impacted counties in Texas so far, for things like containment, access control, and fence to limit exposure to high-risk areas of wildlife, in our grazing management practices, our brush management practices, which would reduce fly habitat, improve airflow, livestock shelter structures, improve animal distribution to reduce local infection risk. And so from the departmental level, all agencies are working hand-in-hand with APHIS as the lead, and you've seen the secretary down in Kerrville earlier this week championing it. And so Undersecretary Fordyce and I are really focused on figuring out how to streamline the impact of things like emergency funding available to Texas and other states. And we should have announcements on this in the coming weeks. So we're looking at the degree of financial and technical assistance and flexibility to support producers in impacted areas.
Always great to visit with you. I know your time's pretty valuable here. Thanks for coming by. Come back and see you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Again, it's the Chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS, Colton Buckley, on today's Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Arlen Suderman talks about soybean crush after USDA's WASDE report.
USDA currently has crush for the new marketing year at 2.75 billion bushels. I think they're a little bit light, but how strong could that go? We estimate the total crush capacity right now in the United States is at about 3 billion bushels. But you can't go at 100% a year around 12 months a year. You have to have some downtime for maintenance, et cetera. So that would suggest that probably pushing the limit, if all goes well, would put it at about 2.8 billion bushels. So USDA's crush estimate is fairly reasonable. I'm a little bit higher here, you see, at 2.775 billion, but we're relatively close. Should be a strong crush year.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
They committed last October to buying 25 million metric tons in the next marketing year.
Arlen Suderman with StoneX.
Now, this number from USDA, as I calculated out, kind of assumes about 15 million metric tons. that China will buy about 60% of what it committed to last October in the next marketing year. Why only 60%? Well, A, that's what they purchased in the phase one trade agreement during Trump 1.0, about 60% of what they committed. Number two goes back to price. You see in the press a lot of stories about how tariffs are hurting U.S. soybean sales into China. A lot of other products, yes, soybeans, it's not the tariffs. You got to get the competitive price before tariffs could be the story. And soybeans do not have that competitive price.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Thursday marked the kickoff of the 2026 FIFA World Cup, soccer's premier prize. And as travelers around the world visit the U.S. and other North American host countries to view the action, Kathleen O'Hara of the Agriculture Department's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service gives this reminder.
Don't pack pork.
The reason? The threat of African swine fever, currently not in our nation, and the potentially fatal impacts of ASF to our nation's swine herds. As this virus can survive on both uncooked and cooked pork products, travelers are prohibited from shipping or carrying these products into the U.S. Also,
this virus can survive on clothing, shoes, luggage.
So washing hands, apparel, and disinfecting luggage after any interaction with pigs. Also, travelers must declare all food, animal, and ag products at U.S. airports and ports. I'm Rod Baden reporting in Washington, D.C.
It's the Agribusiness Report.